I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
Dennis, you're not...
Is my mic up?
Your mic is on, but I do not hear you. You know why? Because you're on the other mic. You didn't drag over the other one.
Oh.
There you go.
Now you hear me.
I see. You're on mic three rather than mic two. Oh. So, and we also have Ziggy. Morning, Ziggy. Say hi to the listeners. I can never get that guy to respond.
Hey, good morning, Computer Talk with Tab listeners.
There he goes. He's a little sleepy. He's our artificial intelligence to help our actual intelligence along, right, Dennis?
yeah, if you can put it that way.
Exactly. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock, so stick around. Feel free to get online with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. 860-522-9842 is the number. And then coming up at 10:05, we have Professor Ron Hare back, Howard University professor. We've had him on before talking about H-1B visas, and our friends at Microsoft are in the news because, you know, they're laying off all sorts of American workers to be replaced with foreign H-1B visa workers. And it's been a pet peeve of mine since this show started 30 years ago. This has been a problem. And I mean, again, if you put any kids through school, you get all these, got this nice, shiny new computer science degree and $100,000 in debt. Microsoft says, oh, we'd love to have you. Huh. And then you're, find yourself 10 years later training your replacements.
Right.
It's gross.
Because they have to pay you too much as they see it.
Right. $1 trillion Microsoft. Wah.
Right. Yeah. They're hurting up.
Yeah.
They're hurting for money, right?
It's gross. I mean, I'm a capitalist pig. Make as much money as you want, Microsoft, but hire American workers so that we can all enjoy the American dream. I mean,
right.
And again, having foreign workers come to America is great. We have no problem with them. If you're a quality person, you want to come to America and join our workforce, please do. But our government shouldn't incentivize the replacement of Americans for you to come as an indentured servant to work for less.
Right.
That just seems ridiculous.
Right.
So we'll be talking to a professor around here. I get a little fired up about it.
no, really?
It's crazy. I mean, there's so many crazy things, right? There's so many stupid things we do. And, I don't know. I'm not the sharpest tack in the drawer. I mean, I'm just some, geek on the radio, but it just doesn't make any sense to me that we would do this to our own people, right? American company, American workers are just laid off because they can bring in cheaper ones. Because of a program that the government has laid up.
Well, another thing is they're tripping over the Nash equilibrium.
What's that?
Okay. Here's the deal. When you run a company,
yes.
There is a benefit to you to purposely end up giving money or making a little less than you would otherwise get by promoting the overall economic system that you operate in. In other words, a rising tide floats all boats.
Of course, yeah.
And if you contribute to raising the tide,
mm-hmm.
over time, you benefit your own company often better than you would otherwise just by making sure that you get every penny you want every moment you want it.
Right.
So what's happening is they're saving a little money by hiring these workers, but a lot of the earnings that they have, which mm-hmm. are less than they would be otherwise,
yeah. The Magnificent
is being offloaded to India.
Yeah.
Well, and it's not part of the U.S. economy. It gets removed.
Right.
And that causes the tide to drop for the overall economy.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in turn, can affect companies like Microsoft detrimentally.
In the long run.
Yeah.
I mean, I would contend, though, these H-1B visa companies are American companies. They're here in Hartford, too. And so those are Indian-owned companies that are run in America, paying American taxes, and they're paying these H-1B visa indentured servants because you have to work for the company that you're specifically replacing.
Yeah.
But yes, the workers could be sending the money back to India, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, the idea here is that I want our companies to make as much money as they want. And I want our employees to make as much money as they can as well, right?
Yeah.
As an employee-owned company at TAB, that's the whole point of an ESOP.
Yeah.
To do both. And then, of course, service our customers so well that they want to continue to work with us. And when you're giving up the ghost here and you're allowing the government's allowing H-1B visa holders to come in and replace American workers, it's just gross.
Yeah.
There's plenty of American workers here.
Yeah.
Right? There's plenty of fresh college grads.
There's people that can do that work.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, in a lot of cases, some of that coding, you don't even need a four-year degree.
No, coding.
You need you know, an associate's degree or even just going through a certification
right. For
a coding language.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, so we'll talk to Professor Hara about that. Other news, too, I want to bring up real quick here. Power companies is something I love. Now, I'm not a big fan of Oregon there. Who knows? But they've got some ideas here that might actually work. We'll see. I mean, there's always unintended consequences, so I will tell you I have a feeling they screwed this up, but it's on the right track. So Basically, there's and I tried to get the folks from out there in Oregon to come on the show, and I'm going to keep working on it. There's some consumer advocate organizations called CUB that I was trying to get involved on the program to talk about this. But this Power Act over there in Oregon forces utilities to charge data centers, cryptocurrency miners, and any other dinglings out there that are consuming mass quantities of power a 30% higher rate.
Ooh.
And, of course, they're also going to reduce regular ratepayers like you and I, Dennis. Our rates will go down by 1.3%. I always say they have some math issues there.
Well, it's probably just sheer numbers. They probably have a couple dozen really big draws in the entire state, but then they've got 20 million people living there.
Well, so. More likely it has to do with carbon credits that we're all still paying for.
Be playing into this too. Yeah.
But basically 20 megawatts or more, you're going to pay a higher rate. Now, that's going to affect a lot of industries, not just the dingling cryptocurrency industries, right?
True.
It's going to, and data centers, of course. Data centers, we're proponents. Great. Ziggy over here loves the fact that, you know, he's on a data center, right?
Right.
Without power, he's not going to do anything. And if it's such a great idea, make all your money, but you're going to pay a little more if you're going to consume mass quantities. We have given you stories from Texas where they were giving people, they're paying them not to do crypto mining. What a dumb policy is that, right? And the crypto miners, because the Bitcoin was worth so little, actually made more money by not mining.
By not mining, yes.
The crypto,
yes.
Because these utilities in Texas were paying them to not mine. I'm not sure what is wrong with the policy, who these regulators are, but that's just stupid.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Do what these guys are doing in Oregon. Charge them 30% more.
Yeah. Make them pay for that extra draw.
Because they're impacting our everything. They're impacting the infrastructure. They're impacting the generation, the cost of fuel. They're doing all that increasing costs. So we need to not have it impact the rest of us. If they have a model that is something they think works, fine. Make them pay.
Right.
So, again, I think we're going to probably screw this up, and you're going to affect all sorts of important businesses besides the ones that they're trying to impact. They actually did want to use the actual codes, those business codes that have to do with what type of business you are.
Oh, okay.
But, again, they're not locked directly to it. So it's all based on the megawatts that you actually consume. So it's a tiered system, which makes sense, but I got a feeling. I mean, data centers consume much more than 20 megawatts.
I wonder if somebody could build a data center, but then submit their paperwork under a different business code that doesn't get triggered.
Oh, right, of course.
With this extra subsidy.
I'm sure that kind of stuff would happen. So you got to kind of.
So that's probably why they went with the raw megawatt figures.
But 20 is too low.
It
needs
might
to be, higher. You're gonna hit a lot of businesses that have been running their businesses for a long time. I mean, there's some foundries out there that actually use electricity to actually melt, you know,
metal,
steel.
Yeah.
That's expensive.
Yeah,
and it's going to consume a lot of energy, and you don't want that to go up for them. So What else you got, Dennis? Anything you want to bring up, too?
Oh, yeah. I got a story about monitors from, LG and Alienware.
Okay, these are now, big companies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the real deal. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a lot of LG and Alienware monitors out there.
Yes, there are.
In some cases, some models, when you connect them to a Windows computer.
Yeah, you're not going to believe this, folks.
It automatically downloads and installs software.
A monitor that downloads software.
Yes.
Why would it download software, Dennis?
I will get to that in a moment.
Yeah.
Now, what happens is this particular piece of software that is the concern mm-hmm. Ends up showing you little advertisements for like things like McAfee.
Oh, lovely.
And
so your monitor.
And it tries to convince you to buy McAfee. Now, the way this works is...
McAfee? How do you say it?
Whichever way it goes, I have no idea. I honestly don't know which way is proper.
Yeah.
I've been in the industry way too long to not know that, but I don't. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's like Linux or Linux.
Go ahead. At any rate, when you connect a monitor to a computer,
yeah.
it provides some metadata to it
right.
about the monitor.
Yep.
Part of that metadata is a URL that instructs the computer to go out and get the software.
That's just gross.
That's all that it is.
So you're buying a monitor to deliver McAfee ads or McAfee ads to
right.
you. And you think it's on your actual Windows operating system doing it, but it's not. Because it's an overlay on its own self.
Well, right. It was added to your computer, and it isn't. It comes in from the Microsoft Store.
Oh, okay.
One of these titles.
So Microsoft's allowing it.
But yes, and the thing
probably
is,
getting a
they
piece.
Probably they might. Well, yeah,
of course.
They probably are. Yeah. At any rate, the real problem here is that you can't just uninstall it.
No.
You have to take other measures to disable the software.
Like
and the article that I have goes over that. So if you are out there and you're dealing with this,
right.
the You'll article have, will help
It'll
you.
Show you the actual LG monitors and Alienware monitors that are actually delivering.
I don't know if it has a list of the model numbers because I don't think that there is an exact list of them yet.
Gotcha. That's crazy, guys. I mean, when can we not be advertised to? Speaking of advertising, we have to take a break and advertise to you. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Nancy in Longmeadow, hang on. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and we're here to help you guys out if we can with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Dennis and I and Ziggy, who often just ribbits, doesn't answer when I ask. It's just... He's a little slow on the uptake over there, but you wouldn't believe how he's connected if I told you it's a Rube Goldberg connection to even make it happen in the first place. So.
I'm amazed it even works.
It really shouldn't work, but it does. Well, let's get to your calls here. Let's go to Nancy in Longmeadow first. Hey, Nancy, how are you?
Hi, good. And so we're kind of almost continuing for a call that I made with you right before the 4th, but... So I did buy this computer that we had talked about with the HP, an Omnibook. And so we were just talking about it, and you said, oh, it's a good price because at that time it was $7.99, and so now it's like $11.99. So that was great.
Right. Yeah.
When you told me buy two. So anyhow, with the result, so I investigated, and it turns out that the Omnibook it's the plastic cover versus the OmniX. Is the one for the aluminum one. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I mean, I'm not going to be throwing it around like at work or something like
right.
that. Is
right.
it okay to get the plastic versus the...
Well, the hinges are a little weak on these things. I've seen lots of people go through these plastic hinges. So I would tell you to inspect the hinges, see if it looks like it's strong enough for you. But I would always angle toward the metal ones because they just tend to last longer. Now, if you're going to be very, ginger with it...
Especially if you don't move it around too much.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of keep it at the desk. And like for 6 years, I've had this plastic cover for this aluminum.
Yes.
I did have. Yeah. Sorry. I can't even say the thing. So anyhow, I'm kind of thinking I took care of it for like 6 years about kind of being okay, but still.
And you can do it then.
In my mind. Yeah, because I know when at work, they always get the aluminum. I was like, make the wrong choice.
No, again, it was a good deal there, and yeah, we don't recommend plastic if you can avoid it, but if you're going to take care of it for $700,
yeah,
you've probably done okay.
I got it, and also it does have a Windows 11 Home, but I don't need networking version or the business version.
Right,
I don't.
No, not in a home setting.
All right. So far I'm okay about like maybe this might have been okay.
Yes.
Now, I use an external one TB drive thing. You know, I load everything. I always copy everything over to there just to save it, just in case something breaks that, you know, I can still preserve it.
Yep.
So now knowing that I have that, I have that backup for all my files. So can you recommend a software program in order to move like programs over from my computer over to the new one?
Well, it's kind of a difficult process and it doesn't always work well, but there are paid utilities you can get that will move both data and programs, installed programs. The title that I'm thinking of that I have used myself and worked for me is called PC Mover.
PC Mover, okay.
And it's by a company called Laplink. And back in the day, they were famous for making software and hardware that allowed you to run, connect different devices together that were otherwise not connectable at the time.
Yeah.
So.
And you can also use Acronis. I use Acronis to do image-based backups of my systems.
Because the thing is, like, you know, it's easy about with the data, but I'm kind of thinking, like, with, like, you know, programs that you're using. It's like, oh, yeah.
Well, Dennis's approach to program migration is an idea.
Yeah.
Again, reinstalling is the most common way to approach a new machine.
It probably is better just to reinstall everything.
I was trying to avoid it, but you were going to say that.
If you've got something maybe you don't have the installer for and you have no choice but to migrate it from one computer to another, for my money, PC Mover is the title most likely to work.
Yep.
All right. Okay, so then my last question.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So I also, because I was kind of nursing along on my, what I'll call my current computer.
Yep.
And so I purchased a cooler. Pad for like, you know, for I guess they use it for gamers, but I thought, well, at least I'll keep it a little bit cooler.
Nice.
So now I understood the difference between that, what I have using the Ultra 7 for the chip for the Dell or no, not Intel, sorry.
Yep.
Versus the what I do currently have is the not the Ultra 7, but only like the 7 Core i7.
Yeah, it's an older one you have now.
Generation. Yeah. And so my understanding was because with this new one that it's better to be, they spread out like the heat more stuff. So therefore, like, it's better for cooling. So but I'm thinking to myself, well, should I still get the cooling pad or keep the cooling pad or main?
Yeah, you're being extra careful. It's a nicety. It's like giving your computer a... I don't know. It's just an advantage. It doesn't hurt. If you got the extra money and you do because you save so much on the laptop, you could do that.
I got it before, you know, you said, oh, yeah.
So you probably just use it. If you've got it, go ahead and use it, Nancy.
Yeah, there's no reason not
to. Yeah, the whole thing is I just bought it, and so therefore I could return it back, you know, to Amazon. But I was need it or, like, you know, is it a good idea? Or like, oh, yeah.
It doesn't hurt. These laptops can run hot, and to keep them cooler is a good thing.
That's good enough for me.
All right, Nancy.
All right. But with that, at least, you know, you answered, gave me my ease in my mind about like, oh, is it okay to help?
I'm glad we could help you. But we're taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. And coming up at 10:05, we'll have Professor Ron Hara talking about H-1B visas and our friends at Microsoft, how they're letting go American workers and then bringing in the replacements under the H-1B visa rules, which is just gross. I'm sorry. If you can't find American workers, fine. But laying off the workers you actually have
Yeah, to them not that they didn't have any workers. Yeah. They already had them.
Yeah.
They're just getting rid of them for cheaper labor.
And again, I won't speak for Dennis, but I'm a capitalist pig myself. I'm happy to have a company make money, but not by doing what they're doing in this case. This is a problem that's been going on for a very long time, and it needs to get fixed. I actually know this administration is trying to make it. They're trying to fix it. They're trying to charge H-1B visas
right.
$100K a pop.
Was it $100K or is it $10K?
$100K.
$100K.
Yeah.
Wow.
You want to have an H-1B? You can't find a worker. You want to have an H-1B visa worker? You need to pay $100K. Some of the other laws that were out there was you at least had to pay them a minimum amount of salary, so that again, if only you're going to bring in somebody from H-1B visa, you better pay them handsomely. But that didn't happen yet either. So we're working on it, I hope. Let's go on to Ken in Marlboro with a question. What's happening, Ken?
Hi there. Hey. I got a question about keyboard repair.
Yes, sir.
Last year, I bought a Lenovo, and one of the keys popped off. And previously, my older HPs, I had a cat dance across it and took off like a bunch of keys, and I just popped them back on. Well, I took the Lenovo in. And apparently they're saying the newer keyboard, you can't put the keys back on. You have to replace the whole keyboard. Is that true?
It may be. It depends on how the keys physically mount, and some of them are harder to do.
So what brand was it again? Lenovo? Ken, what brand was it? What brand keyboard?
Lenovo.
All right.
Yoga or Yogi or something.
Yeah, let me ask Ziggy. Hey, Ziggy, do you think it's okay to repair a Lenovo keyboard?
Yes. First, test keyboard in BIOS. If it works there, reinstall driver via device manager. For hardware issues, clean under keys with compressed isopropyl alcohol.
My
compare
fault.
Repair cost to replacement.
All right. So I should have asked him more specifically. So the problem with working with Ziggy is you have to get him to wake up, and then you have to get the question in perfectly. So that was my fault. So I'm trying to incorporate this ding dong in our show. But so in our case, it could be that it's harder to pop on. You used to be able to pop on these keys pretty easily.
Yes. Back in the day, it was usually very simple and it was very easy, and it was actually common because the keys would very easily come off.
Right. And you get a satisfying click when you put it back in there.
Right. You put it in there.
Ah, it's
so nice.
And then
you're golden.
But it's possible. Keyboards these days, it's on the actual Yoga itself, though, the actual laptop, right? It's not
on
a separate.
Laptop, yeah.
Yeah.
So I brought it in for repair. They said, no, we've got to replace the whole keyboard. Luckily, I actually had the Geek Squad support.
Yeah.
And it was actually a repair capped at $79 for the keyboard replacement.
All right. That's not too bad, I guess.
Not too bad.
But it shouldn't happen.
But, right. It threw me because in the past when I had, you know, my old HPs, you could just kind of pop them back on.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm trying to get back on. I took it in for repair and they looked at it and they said, nope. Those can't go back on. I got to replace the whole thing, the whole keyboard.
It's like purposeful, I think, in some of these designs to sell more keyboards and stuff like that. I would defer to the repair folks that they would tell you the right thing, I hope.
Yeah, a lot of keyboards are just manufactured where they're very close contact.
Right.
And
right.
They literally cannot be just replaced the way that you used
to. Right. The old HPs, they had more of a hinge kind of little plastic thing in there, and there was more space, and they were higher raised. These are much more lower profile, and there's very little space underneath the key.
Right.
So, it just wouldn't go back together. And I took it to a repair shop. They said it had to replace the keyboard, and I took it back to Best Buy, the Geek Squad, and they said the same thing, but they said, you're covered. You're up to a limit of $79.
So, all right. Well,
go for it.
I guess live and learn and keep your cat off your laptop.
But I'm saying they're you're right. They're making things more, you can't just fix it.
Right, it's less and less and less durable, and it's on purpose. I think we all agree it's on purpose. Refrigerators, I mean, it's just the technology. I've had microwaves, the LED light in a microwave. It required me to replace the whole stupid microwave because it was actually cheaper than replacing the light. It's a console that's connected together, so it's convoluted. You should have seen the hernia these guys got to pull the whole thing out. Otherwise we had to guess what we were typing in our microwave. We didn't know if we were nuking the popcorn for 6 minutes or 60 minutes.
this is just me just complaining.
You're welcome to, Ken. This computer talk with Tab is, you know, questions and concerns. So this is a concern. It fits right in, sir.
It does. And I guarantee there's a lot of people out there commiserating right now.
Yeah. But thanks for checking in.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You got it, sir. I wish I could figure out Ziggy, though, because it's just having a hard time answering my questions. It's me. It's user error, Dennis. I'll admit. I'm clearly not. I mean, I can talk to my computer at home, and we seem to get along. But Ziggy over here just is not as good. Let's step up for a quick break, I think, Carolyn, and then we'll get to Steve. And then coming up at 11 o'clock, Professor Herrod will talk about H-1B visas. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. And it's not Professor Hare. Ron Hira. He'll be coming on at 10:05 talking about H-1B visas, so I apologize to the professor. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Steve in Meriden, I think. Hey, Steve.
Yes, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. I have a question about apps and subscriptions. I've had a tremendous problem with the Apple iPhone and Apple Cloud telling me I have run out of storage, mm-hmm. and they're going to charge me more.
Yeah.
2 months ago, I had all these other charges on my bank account. So the only way to get rid of it was to change my complete bank account. I talked to the bank and they said if it's a subscription, they're just going to keep trying to take your money out.
Right.
So also I've been using AI. And if I use AI, sometimes when you create a video, there's different companies that suggest a choice of how to build this animation.
Yeah.
And then that reflects in your billing.
Yikes.
But I have agreed with a contract for $15 a month, and then I'm getting disturbing charges from China from all these other things. So, they are legitimate charges, but yet they are, I'm not sure where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So my question is, if I went to a grocery store and got one of those credit cards that you could buy like a gift card, and if I use that, that's not attached to any bank account.
Right.
Would that solve the problem of all these charges? Otherwise, I have to keep going to the bank and say, no, I didn't charge this, yada, yada, yada. What's your thoughts on that?
When you say the bank, are you using a debit or credit card, Steve?
Debit.
Stop. Stop now using debit cards. Stop using debits for any of these payments. They're reaching into your bank account. So that's number one. So number one, I'm going to tell you, no matter what you're doing, stop using a debit card. Debit cards literally allow the actual companies to reach in, take your money out, and you have no recourse, zero recourse, okay, if somebody does it by accident. So you got to get out of that practice. I would recommend...
All right, so then what could I use to pay?
A credit card. So credit cards, guess what happens when you have false charges on your credit card? You're not responsible. Period. Exclamation point.
They just charge it.
That's fine.
What do I do? Every time got to call up the credit card and stay on hold for 4 hours?
Well, no. There's lots of great credit cards out there that will really respond to your inquiries. They don't want to pay bills that are fraudulent. And your bank sure as heck doesn't want to deal with this. And you do not want to give all sorts of people access to Steve's bank account. Although Dennis and I will take that if you'd like. What is your account number? Just kidding.
What's it called?
PayPal or something like that? Yeah.
PayPal. So, What about getting PayPal?
You could get, that's an intermediary into a credit card scenario because you have to attach a payment system, I understand. I don't use PayPal.
Well, you attach either a bank account or a credit card.
Same problem.
It.
Same problem.
But, right.
Same problem.
PayPal would just be a conduit to the account. But PayPal does have limitations and they will intercede.
Right.
The way that a credit card would.
Yeah. I would recommend that, I would say one thing. You have a problem. We both agree. You got too many apps and too many subscriptions, and you're having people rip you off or charge you for stuff you didn't even aware of. So I would tell you to go get a credit card. Pick a bank, Capital One, whoever, and create a Steve's subscription credit card, and only use it for subscriptions. And that way you can track it cleanly off of whatever you're doing, and get rid of all the connections to your bank account for these other subscriptions. And now you have control with just this one credit card. They'll be your friends, and you'll be able to work with them. And you might even get some points back on your spending. But I would tell you to do it that way. It would be my recommendation, because trying to manage your subscriptions, especially with AI, $15 is one thing, but there's a lot of tokenized approaches here. If you use too much of something, all this stuff is consumption based.
Right. They say they give you credits, but the credits doesn't relate to money.
Correct.
It's like I got 8,000 credits, but what does that mean?
Right.
And that
could be.
Try to do a project. I make a song or a video.
Right.
And then they take 4,000 credits.
Right.
How am I supposed to navigate through it? And then that eventually turns into money.
Correct. They do it as confusing as possible.
Yeah.
So you don't know what you're buying or spending or paying. This is. Again, they asked AI what they should do to figure out how to extract the most money from you, and that's what they came up with, a credit-based system that makes no sense at all, because you can't equate having whatever animation created, whatever song created to some sort of thing. It's the same thing with cloud hosting. You need to configure a server in the cloud. We have to do this for our clients. I need to figure compute, CPU, RAM, hard drive space, bandwidth, egress, ingress, charges, all the things that
so
are variable.
Complicated.
It's ridiculous.
I just take pictures, and they say I run out of cloud space,
yep.
So I can no longer take photographs.
Right.
All I do is put my iPhone on my computer, download some pictures, and the message keeps coming up. You have too much storage.
I know.
And you need to pay for more storage.
They want to get you. They want to get you, Steve. So my wife has the same problem all the time, and we just refuse to allow it because she takes 6 pictures of the same thing. Right? Click.
Your wife is a photographer.
No, she's just a ding-a-ling user like everybody. And they know that, right?
Wait a minute. I'm a photographer.
Hopefully she's not listening to this show.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm always in the doghouse anyways. So it doesn't matter. So, Steve, to create that separate credit card, stop at letting people into your bank accounts. People should not do that. And again, you have the banks don't really have any recourse if money is taken out. There is some FDIC protections, but there's some limitations, and they could actually take so much money out that you don't have any money in to pay your actual bills.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You work for Computer Talk with Tab.
Yeah.
And you must have thousands of apps. How do you keep track to make sure that they're not nipping a little bit here, a little bit there? Because every time you go into a client's place, mm-hmm. you go, I can get you out of this situation,
right.
But I need this particular app to use.
Nope. So I'll tell you about my personal configuration. I don't have a single app I pay for on my phone. I don't pay a single penny for any app, period. I don't.
So then you have no fun.
I do have fun. I have other things to do than play with my phone. But I do try to not do that. When it comes to clients, they will deal with subscriptions themselves. We don't come in and say, we're going to figure out how to look to do that.
You don't have to tell me personal stuff.
Yeah.
But you, as being as smart as you are, how do you navigate through that? So you don't pay for a single app.
I don't pay for a single app. That's how I navigate.
So you don't have the one for Google Maps?
Google. Well, I do. I use Waze, but it's free. Doesn't cost me a penny.
Yeah.
Oh, so you find all the ones that are free.
Right.
Free. That I know I'm the commodity, right? So I understand that. But yes, I do not pay for apps. I don't pay for apps for gaming. I don't pay for apps for anything. I've got better.
Well,
I got better things
good
to do.
For you. You are super smart.
No, I just work hard for my money, and I don't want to give it away a dollar at a time.
Of course. that's what my whole call is about.
All right. Well, let's stop doing that, Steve. You need to reform. All right.
Yeah, you guys are great.
Well, thank you, Steve. You are too.
Thank you.
All right. So Steve's gonna disconnect his bank from his phone and his apps, which is a good thing. So, all right. You know what? We have two more callers. I was going to go to a story that I wanted to bring up. We're going to go to you guys first. We're going to go to Lori in Deep River. What's happening, Lori?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I have, in addition to a newer Mac, I have a 2009 MacBook Pro. And because it's no longer able to be updated, it's no longer able to support my current tablet to import photos. Yep. The hard part is that's the one that had a DVD drive or CD drive that worked until last 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm trying to wipe it clean, completely wipe it clean, so I can give it to a guru's kid who wants to play with it, you know, and hey, just to make it work great.
Nice.
I cannot wipe this thing. Every time I go to this setting, that setting, follow this path, that path, and you should see the word delete. It's grayed out. No can do. Is it because there's a we gave it more memory. We put a memory slot in there.
Mm-hmm.
It does have a separate hard drive. So I've got 8 gigabytes of memory on this thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
I think it has to do with your access. Now, I'm not a Mac user, and I know Dennis is checking this out, but in a Windows scenario, you have administrative level access to do things, and you have user level access. It sounds like you don't have the power because it's grayed out because of the level of access you have.
Well, it's because she's trying to delete an operating system that's being run.
Oh, you can't do that. No.
Right.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I'm not trying to delete the operating system. I'm trying to restore it to the factory setting.
Understood.
Okay.
What you're trying to do is affect the current operating system, and it's not going to let you do that.
Is there a process?
There is a way to do that. Ah. What you do is you boot your Mac to recovery mode.
Guess what? Doesn't work. Tried that 100 times.
100 times? That sounded like too many times.
Yeah, probably. Mm. But, you know, you get to the point at 3 a.m. where it's like, this is just not working.
All right. Well, we'll have to do some research on it. Dennis is thinking it should work.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's no reason that recovery mode doesn't work.
All right.
But I've tried holding down, I can't remember which combination.
Command R.
When you restart it, and it never goes to the recovery mode screen.
All right. That's the question we'll try to solve. We do have a guest coming on at 10:05, Lori. So I can put you on hold, and we'll do some research after we chat with Professor Hira, but we'll see if we can find an answer as to why your Control R or Command R is not working, okay?
It is not working.
All right. We'll see what we can do for you. And so stick around. We'll be talking about H-1B visas and why Microsoft doesn't like American workers. We'll be right back.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.